Tissue from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That is the last track wrapping up our hour here. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you here next Monday for another hour of whatever I happen to be in the mood for. I'm your host, Claire Brom, and this has been Monday Night Mood.
When the rains came down in the hollow, playing a new game, laughing and a running, hey hey, skipping and a jumping in the misty morning fog with all our hearts a thumping, and you, my brown eyed girl. And whatever happened to Tuesday and so slow, gone down the old man with a trend.
I think the second to last episode of Live at the Citrus Orchards ever, like that will ever happen for the rest of ever, which is kind of sad if you think about it. I'm trying to come to terms with my undergraduate mortality, but we do have a very special show today. I have a very special guest. Special guest, introduce yourself.
My name is Bruce Brain, and I teach here at Ohio State.
And how did I find you? I found you because you're teaching my capstone class right now. And you dropped a very interesting fact about yourself on the opening day of class, which is that you were an author, and not only an author, but an author about a rock and roll book. Do you want to talk for a minute about when did you know you were going to write a book about 60s and 70s rock and pop?
You know, it's something I always kind of wanted to do, and career and work and family got in the way of actually spending enough time to be able to do it. As I've been teaching now and sort of downsizing my career and more part-time teaching than full-time, I've had the time to go back, and I started a blog a few years ago where I actually started blogging about rock and roll music.
Which website was this on?
This was on a website called The Brain Trust.
The Brain Trust.
With my spelling of my last name, with an E on the end. And I originally was blogging on policy, and policy got too depressing, so then I started blogging about music instead. And I grew up in the 60s and 70s.
In New York, correct?
In New York City, and really, really enjoyed rock music. I was a huge fan, listened to the radio all the time. I wanted to kind of share sort of how it influenced me growing up, but also, you know, what I thought I learned about a lot of music from a fan's perspective.
I think that's interesting. That is, and it's called I've Got the Music in Me, is the title of the book, but it's a fan's view of 1960s and 70s rock and pop music. I thought that was interesting as a subtitle, a fan's view, because, I mean, despite I've been making music of my own since 2012, I would say I became a music fan for real when I was about in seventh grade or so. And at first I was content just to listen to everything possible. And I think the style of list and organization and kind of taking it in as a fan and as a generation. I had my own music blog back in the day. I like to do album reviews. The time I would write them and not even publish them.
Yeah.
I just, like, at least my first exposure to a lot of music was going to the public library and checking out CDs for free, downloading them on my computer, and that was it. Did you jump right into vinyl, or?
I started out, I was really the first one in my family. My older sister really wasn't into rock music much, and I think really what began my real strong interest was seeing with my mother, who allowed us to watch her TV to see, stay up late and see the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show back in 1964, very early, when they first came to America in early 64. And I can remember thinking, wow, this is, you know, and I was, you know, it was 9 going on 10, so I wasn't a very old kid, but it really influenced me. And after that, I started listening on the radio quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of in New York City, it was WABC radio. That's what everyone listened to. And that was kind of the music station. And it was all popular music. But in 1964, 65, 66, 67, it was heavily rock and rock and roll, which was great. Later on, it became less so, and then a lot of people, including myself, sort of deviated to other stations. But I can remember listening to the top 20 countdown that they would do every week on Tuesdays,
right. Yeah.
That kind of thing. So.
Which is still shockingly alive today. The biggest alternative station here in Columbus is CD 102.5, which I don't listen to a whole lot of the radio anymore, but if I'm in passing, you know, in my truck or something, I'll either listen to, I found a weird instrumental station. There is a station that plays like classic hits, and then there's like kind of today's alternative. And I was surprised that they still do a top 5 most requested countdown, which is good for a listener's perspective, because you don't always know what's popular and what people want at the moment, because half the time, instead of requesting a song that you want to hear on the radio, you can just look it up yourself now and, you know, listen to it on your own time. So with that, we're going to transition into another song. This is So There Was You.
There were bells on a hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all till there was you. There were birds in the sky,
but I never saw them winging. No, I never saw them at all till there was you. Then there was music and wonderful roses, they tell me, in sweet fragrant meadows of dawn and dew. There was love all around, but I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all till there was you. I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all till there was you.
Shame the way our little world has changed. Do you you saw me now, you wouldn't even know my name.
I bet you're fat and married and you're always home in bed by 8:30. And if I talked about the old times, you'd get bored and you'd have nothing more to say. Yes, people often change, but memories of people can remain.
That was kind of a back-to-back feature from the Kinks. Another great group. Bruce was in here, and I was telling him I preferred the Kinks to the Rolling Stones, and he described the Kinks as more intellectual rock. And honestly, I didn't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. I don't know. Do you want to give our listeners some of your justification for that?
Well, I think that there are songs that the Kinks did where they were very often either poking fun at different groups, but they were doing it in a very sort of clever, very oftentimes the different groups wouldn't even know that they were poking fun at them by the way they were doing their lyrics. And I think of Sunny Afternoon as a kind of a classic. And it was also sort of traced the evolution of the Kinks. And the first song you heard by the Kinks was You Really Got Me, which was their breakout song. It was their first really popular hit. And it was a very standard, conventional rock and roll song. It was a great rock song.
Right.
In many ways, I'd argue it's probably one of the first true rock songs that existed. But then by the mid-60s, they had really changed and they had things like Sunny Afternoon, and then they really, really morphed, of course, when they got to Lola.
Right.
You know, and then the whole King Chronicles,
right,
et cetera. So, very interesting group. But yeah, I think they're very very clever in their lyrics. That isn't to say that Rolling Stones don't have some very good lyrics, but I think what makes the Stones great is that they have some really good guitar-based music. And, you know, that's a lot of that's on Keith Richard as much as anything. But
so I'm curious to know, obviously, I feel like I've been going to concerts for a long time, although my first one was in 2012. How many concerts do you think you've been to over the course of your life, and do you have any that really jump out to you as being kind of catalyst in your music listening career?
Well, I talked in the book. I sort of have the book divided in two parts, and the first part is kind of goes through year by year as I'm growing up and talks about each year, and some chapters I had to split in half because the year was so good.
Right.
1965 is so good that I split it into a British and an American part. So there are really two chapters. But then I get to the second half and I do various my favorite lists. And one of my favorite lists was the best concerts that I've ever been to. And naturally, the first concert that I went to, and of course this is in the day of where, you know, kids didn't go to concerts typically until they got to college. At least that was typical for me. And so my first concert, I was in college, and I went and saw Loggins and Messina at a gym at the University of Rhode Island, believe it or not, and it was really fantastic. Just their music was really good.
That seemed like a thing that doesn't happen anymore. And I know specifically with the Beach Boys, their live recordings will be at like, I think they played at like University of Michigan's like graduation or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, live from some university's gymnasium or something
yeah,
like
that. Yeah. No, it,
I don't think that exists anymore.
No, it doesn't. I'm pretty sure it doesn't. And now it's the, and I, you know, the second big concert I saw in college with my freshman year was Rod Stewart. And the interesting part of that was the Rod Stewart was the headliner, but in my opinion, the backup or the opening act, if you will, that blew it away was the Doobie Brothers. And they were pretty unknown at that time.
Yeah.
It was like their first album had just come out, and that was really something.
It is kind of a weird feeling when you go to a show and the opener, I don't want to say is like better than who you're there to see, but the opener kind of sets the bar way too high.
Yeah.
And then you're just kind of like, you just ease into the main thing. I mean, my favorite example of that is when we saw a band called Of Montreal, one of our favorite bands in 2015. We saw a no-name band from Athens, Georgia / Tallahassee, Florida, and Surface to Air Missive open for them. And it's kind of a southern rock, but like not Lynyrd Skynyrd by any stretch of the means, but something about this music is inherently southern. They just blew us away. And Of Montreal, they do a bunch of weird stage stuff and costumes and da-da-da-da-da, but Surface to Air Missive was no nonsense, and they're some of the best musicians I've ever seen. And, you know, to this day, that strikes me as kind of the best opening band I've ever seen. And just because everything comes full circle and dreams come true, and just to throw an advertisement for my own self, Citrus Orchards, my band is opening for that same band, Surface to Air Missive, in like a few weeks, May 1st, 2019. I added the singer on Facebook, said, "Hey man, if you're ever through Columbus," and 4 years later, dreams have come true. So come check us out at Cafe Bourbon Street / Pierogi Mountain. I was thinking it's interesting when out-of-towners are coming through and they're looking for a venue to play and they're like, just pick wherever you want. There's a lot of pressure because, I mean, now that we've been playing in some way or another in Columbus for 3 years, some of the bars we've been to have been really great and some have been terrible. My go-to is Cafe Kerouac. Have you ever been down there on North Campus?
No, I haven't.
That's that's a good venue. I mean, Cafe Kerouac, Space Bar, Cafe Bourbon Street is a good one. I mean, the thing I kind of talked up Bourbon Street is, it's one of those venues where it's really, you just walk in and you can tell there's just no sense of structure and you can do anything you want to. Set times and cover charge and all that stuff is kind of up to you. They just have a guy running sound. But now, did you play any music over the years?
I didn't really. I mean, I was, you know, like maybe a lot of kids, I had some piano lessons and, you know, never really progressed very far. And that's really probably the extent of it. I actually picked the piano back up about 20 years ago and played for a couple years. But no. I don't think I really have a great musical aptitude. It's interesting because I love listening to it and I can recognize things in songs and stuff, but translating that to either my fingers for piano or sometimes where I've tried to play the guitar, same thing, not so easy for me.
It's one of those things, now that I look back at it, I'm like, oh, I can't imagine that. And then I look at something like hockey. I've been watching hockey all the time since 2014, and I don't ice skate. I don't even know how to ice skate.
Yeah.
Like, love hockey. Watched almost all the Blue Jackets games this year in some way or another, you know.
Pretty good weekend.
Yeah, but I just...
For that, too.
Yeah, I absolutely don't know how to skate, so it's one of those things. This next album I kind of want to play a selection or two from is... this segment is dedicated to Taylor, if Taylor's out there listening. Do you have a preference on which song we play from Pet Sounds?
Well, you've got it right on... I would say let's go with Sloop John B. That's such a great song.
Okay, then this song is actually dedicated for our friend Logan Ludwig, who always plays Sloop John B., but he's actually over in the UK right now. So this one's for you, Logan.
We come on the Sloop John B., my grandfather and me, around.
Oh, what's up with John B? I had to prove that I could make it alone now, but that's not me. I wanted to show how independent I'd grown now, but that's not me. I could try to be big in the eyes of the world. What matters to me is what I could be to just one girl. I'm a little bit scared 'cause I haven't been home in a long time. All kinds of changes, took a look at myself and said that's not me. I miss my pet and the places I've known, and every night as I lay there alone I would dream. I once had a dream, so I packed up and split for the city.
My time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes. There's gonna have to be a different man. Never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't tell them to grow up on out of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Where's your shame? You've left us up to her next to me. Change me, but you can't twist time. Strange passing
Will you stay in our love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay in our love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. We bought a lot of things to keep you warm and dry, and a funny old crib on which the paint won't dry. I bought you a pair of shoes, a trumpet you can blow, and a book of rules of what to say to people when they pick on you. 'Cause if you stay with us, you're gonna be pretty cookie too. Will you stay in our love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. You ever have to go to school, remember how they messed up this old fool. Don't pick fights with the bullies or the cats, 'cause I'm not much cop at punching other people's dads. And if the homework brings you down, then we'll throw it on the fire and take the car downtown. Will you stay in our love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay in our love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance.
Yeah.
Brought it back to the Beatles for a quick minute. That was Blue Jay Way. So Bruce, I'm very curious to know your opinion on this subject. How do you feel about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Specifically, how they address, like, inductees year by year. Do you think they're taking the cream of the crop? Do you think their credentials are good?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting because one thing that happened with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame pretty quickly is it was no longer the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It was a lot of genres Hall of Fame, basically, which is fine, but it's
just,
sort of...
Just rebrand, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Like,
it
with
really
all due
isn't
respect,
the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame anymore when you have Ray Charles. And I mean, Ray Charles is fantastic.
Well, even that, NWA. They
right.
never really... I don't think they have a claim for it. It's like...
Yeah.
It's yeah. fine. I mean, I'm sure there's a hip hop Hall of
yeah.
Fame, although probably less.
I'm not sure, you know, the way they're doing it and some of the bands they select. I think the neatest thing about it is I actually found myself resubscribing to HBO because I knew that a couple of my favorite groups, the Moody Blues recently, as well as the Cars, were inducted into the Hall of Fame, and I wanted to see the induction ceremony because what is...
And you have to have HBO to watch it live?
Yes. Yeah, I can eventually see it, but to see it right away, you have to have it.
Because I was trying to watch it live that night. I mean, I was excited. I mean, out of the most recent group, the groups that I were interested in were The Cure, one of my favorite
right.
bands of all time, The Zombies.
Zombies
and Radiohead,
yeah.
Which honestly, how did they just now put the Zombies in?
Well, you know, the Zombies are kind of interesting because the Zombies had basically four really big hits, and they had a few albums, but they really didn't have a lot of material. And then, you know, they became Argent. That was kind of the follow-up, and they did a few songs with the group Argent. So I think part of what hurt the Zombies was, for many years, was that people said, well, but they haven't done as much as the Beatles or the Stones or the Who or
do you have
groups.
That's the thing. I don't know if you particularly have to, especially when, I mean, everyone's still all over the Sex Pistols, which, I mean, let's be honest, we got an album, then they didn't really want to be inducted and so on and so forth.
Yep.
And
yeah, yeah. No, that's true.
I think they need a consistent way because I have examples for days of bands that I think should be in that are not in,
yes.
and vice versa, bands that I don't think should be in. I just think it's full of double standards. At this point I don't think it makes any sense. I go to Cleveland 4, 5, 6 times a summer for baseball games, and I'll occasionally be up for a Browns game. I've never been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I will not be going until, well, I guess they technically broke the streak, but I thought it was so ridiculous that, like, a few bands that I really wanted to see get in were The Smiths, The Cure, The Pixies, and The Smashing Pumpkins, who are now past that 25-year leeway. Like, I think to what 60s British Invasion was to you was kind of what mid to late 80s into the 90s new wave into alternative music was for me. And I just don't know if they're following up. Like, that's fine. They put Nirvana in. I mean, of course you have to put them in as a first ballot, but like, did Nirvana, they had what, 3 studio albums?
Yeah.
And then a lot of other stuff. Whereas I don't know. I just don't think they've been very consistent. I mean, The Cure finally get in, but
yeah, I think it's almost like, as you mentioned, the Indians. It's almost like the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
in the same way. There,
we
there
have.
Really
well, we're
no,
missing the steroid era,
right.
Which is like, and we don't know how good those guys were without steroids.
Right.
We know Barry Bonds would have been good enough without any of the juice,
yeah.
But I mean,
well, there's that, and then, you know, one thing that happened with the Baseball Hall of Fame is there was, for whatever reasons, the voters really loved players in the 30s and 40s,
yeah,
and there were a ton. The hall is loaded with some players that by today's standards couldn't make the Hall of Fame. you know, that were either
the Baseball Hall of Fame's oddly strict. Yeah. I feel like the NFL and the NBA are a little more lenient.
Right.
Baseball's very, very rigid. Right. I feel like there's kind of an eye test for a lot of these names and players. I mean, I was born in 1995. I've been watching Indians games for as long as, you know, my entire life. So, I mean, a lot of the guys from the late 90s into now, I can pretty much tell you if they're worthy or not. But, like, you know, a player like Lance Berkman, who was successful for the Astros, and he was their big hitter for, like, so many years, like, I don't think he'll ever get in. Like, right. All those hits, all this. I mean, as much as I hate the Cincinnati Reds and Pete Rose, for that matter, right. Pete Rose is an asshole. Why would you not put him in the Rock and Roll, or not the Rock and Roll?
Well, you could.
You could put him in the Rock. Honestly, he might be better suited in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah, but
maybe.
I don't know how you wouldn't have Pete Rose in. You know, I feel like a lot of this is similar to the Ohio State University. A lot of their big decisions are controlled by certain donors or this or that. Or I feel like there's a lot of decisions made behind the scenes.
Yeah,
and I don't know if we're representing.
Well, I think with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, supposedly they have a process which involves, you know, different people who are in the industry kind of voting, et cetera, who they want to nominate and stuff. I honestly don't know the exact process, and I certainly don't know, and I don't think they know what the standard is. There isn't any real particular standard.
No, they broke the standard by going outside of
rock and roll, for one thing.
Yeah, which, I mean, I agree. It's fine if we do a contemporary music, a popular music, any of that.
Right.
But, I mean, specifically, they put it in Cleveland, Ohio. And, I mean, even our 2019 Cleveland MLB All-Star Game patch is a guitar with the All-Star Game logo. Like, Cleveland is known as, you know, the rock and roll city now. Or, right. You know, at least one of them, among a few others. And it's like, if you make it a general music Hall of Fame, like, would anyone have thought to put that in Cleveland in the first place? Like, no, not really. I think they have some branding problems. I don't feel bad holding out for them, just because I feel like they still have plenty of flaws in the system. I just don't know if they've been consistent across the board.
Yeah, and I was glad to see, you know, a couple bands like, again, the Moody Blues and the Cars are two of my favorites, and they just got into the hall. And Chicago deserved it, although they're not truly a rock band.
Yeah, they're not.
But, once again, genre-wise,
at least they are on the edge. I mean, nothing against, like, the hip-hop stuff going on, but, like,
at least they have some songs that are rock beats, etc. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm like almost 99% sure there's like a hip hop Hall of Fame or like, and you know, something like that is like better off not based in Cleveland, Ohio, you know,
right.
If that
right.
was based in,
well,
you know,
New York, which is
Los
New York,
Angeles,
you know,
or New York,
where
I mean,
it really started, so.
New York or like even Philadelphia, yeah. You know, yeah. where a lot of the scenes hook off. So, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. On that note, drop another classic.
Said no, 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 you're wrong. When I was a boy, everything was right. Everything was right. I said, even though you know what you know, I
in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like
pretty much brings us to the end of the show. Thank you, Bruce, for coming on. It's been a lot of fun. So yeah, then thank you everyone for listening to Live at the Citrus Orchards here on Arouse Student Radio. The last song I'm playing is going to be uploaded probably around 9 or 10 o'clock tonight. My band Citrus Orchards spent our entire spring break at Ross Hall on Kenyon College's campus, spending our whole break doing nothing but recording. And we're putting out our first song tonight. The title of it is Biscayne, so here it is, first time ever.
Just speak.